You're listening to the Profit Connections Podcast. Entrepreneurs and franchise owners, you'll want to tune in. If you're looking to create a rock-solid business, sick of being stuck on the plateau, and ready to kick it up more than just a notch, you're in the right place. I'm your host, Sharon Galuzzo, and I believe in unleashing your full potential to create resilient, successful businesses that in turn make significant positive impacts in our world. Welcome to the Profit Connections Podcast. Welcome in, everyone. This is going to be a very cool podcast episode. I'm so glad that you joined us for this one. If you have a business and you have employees or are thinking about having employees, or you have questions about having employees, this is the podcast to listen to. I have an amazing expert with us today. His name is Jesper McQuindang, and he is a leadership and HR consultant who equips entrepreneurs and executives with the strategies and mindsets to build high-performing, self-led teams. Ooh, that's nice. They're leading themselves. Well, so we're going to have to get into that, Jesper. Jesper blends academic rigor with real-world insights to elevate leadership, strengthen company culture, and enhance team performance, easy for me to say. His mission is simple yet powerful: to help leaders drive growth by investing in and developing their people. Outside of work, Jesper has completed 16, that is 16 marathons. How many times around the world have you been? 16 marathons. Okay. That's math. 16 marathons and visited not 10, not 20, not 30, but all 50 states, proving that leadership, resilience, and perseverance aren't just professional values, but a personal way of life. Welcome, Jesper.
Sharon, thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here, and I'm looking forward to our conversation today.
This is great. So, one of the goals that I have for this podcast is to give business owners, especially small business owners, tools and information and a leg up on how to run your business like a business. And so a lot of times we're into some things that are a little bit more esoteric, which are also important for your business. This is like a nuts and bolts thing. So we are going to be talking about HR, human relations. That is right, right? Human relations?
Human resources.
Human resources.
Yes, human relations as well.
Relations, listen to me. Human resources. I'm like, something is wrong with what I just said. Human resources, aka employees. What do you do? What do you have to do in your business when you have employees? If you should have employees, what kind of employees should you have? And most important, what do you do with those employees? And how do you make that employees an asset to your business and not something that drains you and gives you a headache, right? So Jesper, tell us a little bit about the HR, like, let's just say we are brand new to having employees in our business. Walk me through, if I'm going to hire somebody, what kind of people am I looking for, and what do I need to do, and what do I need to have corporately? Walk us through that.
Absolutely. And before I begin, I want to share why I believe human resources is important to small businesses. And it comes with this idea. I have yet to meet a entrepreneur or small business owner who walks up to me and says, "Jesper, I have an idea for a business, but just for this moment, let's just put my service and product aside. The big goal, my desire is just to manage people. Jesper, I discovered the cure to cancer, but let's just put that aside. This idea of managing people, that's the way to go." I have yet to meet a visionary entrepreneur who has that desire. I mean, I'm passionate about managing people, but to find people with that same passion, I think that would be great, but I have yet to meet that entrepreneur. So that's why I feel it's important, because when it comes to entrepreneurship, many small business owners form their business, their venture, because they have an idea. They have a solution to a problem. It's rare that a business owner comes up with a business just to lead people for that sole purpose. It's really that mission vision. And that's where I find that gap. It's when I find business owners, they're really focused on the mission. They weren't prepared or set up to build a team. That's an afterthought because they were focused on their product or service. On that note, now that we've established why I think that's important because.
And that really is truly that was so brilliant. Thank you for saying that. Because whenever by the point we get that we need to hire employees, whether that's day one or year three, when we get to that point of bringing employees and team members into the mix, we're thinking about how do I get the job done? What do I do? It's not about how are you leading and managing and how are you creating an atmosphere with the thought that how do I bring out the best in everyone so that we can all succeed together? So I think that's a critical, critical point. That was excellent.
Thank you. And back to your original question, when it comes to finding the right people, we do have a starting point that's okay. We tend to look for people who have relevant skill sets. But what we want to look for is that culture fit. And what I mean by that is every business owner or every entrepreneur should at least have a vision, mission, and values that they're striving for. We do have solutions to the problem, but how we approach those solutions. They're very unique to how we approach the world. And to get other people on the same page, we want to make sure there's that connection with that. So when it comes to finding other employees, in addition to their skill sets, we want to make sure that one, they actually enjoy the role, and two, they understand the long-term vision that we're striving for. So it really comes to really seeing that bigger picture. As
So
Simon
real,
Sinek would say, start with why.
yeah. So really, you're starting with the end in mind. Like it's not so. Whenever we, especially task-oriented business owners, it's get somebody in, get them in, so we can do the work that we need done. And what you're saying is, don't just pick anyone. Make sure we've created the environment and they fit that environment before we bring them in. It's a really good point.
That's right. It reminds me of an interview I had before, and Sharon, you've heard that interview I've had where saying just picking some random person off the street and saying, "Hey, Jesper, you're my director of marketing." That can cause some trouble. On the other hand, if we're intentional and searching for the right people in the right places with that right skill set, looking for that right role, that's where you'll see a lot more progress taking place.
Yeah, and that's actually I love the way you describe that. It reminds me of the book Good to Great. I don't know if you've read that one. And I, that is that that's Jim Rohn, right? I think.
With
Anyway,
the
it's
right
Good to Great.
bus,
Pardon me?
right
Okay.
seat, right bus.
Yes, have the right person on the on you put people on your bus. You got to have the right person in the right seat. Just a different visual of what Jesper just said, and how critical is that? If you have somebody that is amazing with people, and you have them in the back doing tech stuff, and you got the tech head out front trying to interact with people, it's not as good a fit as it could be. So look at where their strengths are, their strengths lie in conjunction with the entirety of your business and your business culture and what's going on there. Because you might have somebody that's really amazing, however, they don't that match the culture of your business. I remember when we would interview for people, we would have people come in and they were like, "Oh, I'm so good at XYZ and this is my passion and this is what I long to do and this is," and they're so passionate and I'm like, "That's amazing. However, we're hiring for ABC." And ABC does not fit the same mold as XYZ. So, as great as that person was, they weren't right for the role, and they weren't the right person in the right seat on the bus.
Sharon, I like how you brought that up. There are a lot of talented people in the world, but it really is important to match their talent to the right, as you mentioned, the right seat and the right bus, getting the right person.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we hire anybody, first of all, we want to figure out who we are, what's the culture, what do you want the experience of the employees, the the people, everyone who works there, the people that come in, your customers. What's that whole experience you want them to have? If you define that and create that before you bring people in, then you will bring in the people that will match that culture because you've already answered the question.
Sharon, I like how you brought up the entire experience. It reminds me of a rhyme that I came up with recently, and it's success is sweet when you keep the receipt. I'll say that again and I'll explain it. Success is sweet when you keep the receipt. What that means is it's important to document and operationalize the process of what's working well, because when you know the steps it takes to get there, it's easier to follow those steps. So success is sweet
Absolutely.
when you
Success
keep
is
the
sweet
receipt.
when you keep the receipt. You are speaking my language. I'm all about systems and processes and documentation. These are such critical things because, and I know you would say this if we got this far, even creating a document, a handbook, if you will, what do you expect them to do and how do you expect them to do it? It's a pain in the butt whenever you're creating it. However, if you create it, then they have something to follow, and then that mitigates expectations, unrealistic expectations if you didn't train them properly and give them a step-by-step guide, and unrealistic expectations on the part of the employee if they don't know what they're doing and then they're feeling frustrated because it wasn't clear. So yeah, that's totally part of the process. Let me just take a step back before we start interviewing and hiring people. What do you have to have in your business before you can hire someone like a federal identification? Can you talk about that?
Oh, yes. So if you're talking about EINs and setting up your business, you want to make sure your business is legally structured. There are coaches available that can help you decide with between sole proprietorship, S Corp, C Corp, LLC. You would just want to make sure you have the right tax identification so you can move forward with your business legally.
Yes, excellent. So I just wanted to bring up the EIN number. That's a federal number that you have to have. Generally, if you have a bank account, you have to have that anyway. However, you do need that. That actually ties into HR. So we have so we've got our culture, we got our EIN, we're set up, we can bring people in. Now, what kind of people can you bring in? Like, what are the options? We have contractors, we have people that are full-time employees, part-time employees. What are the options and what are the recommendations? Like you could have an internship, like where do we go for when we start bringing people in to help?
Yes, so many ways to choose from. And I'll add to that. There are W-2 employees, there are contractors, there are also virtual assistants, there are internships, just a wide variety of people we can choose from. And it really depends on the needs of the business. If you have a certain project that's going to be a full-time venture, that's where you would consider a full-time employee or part-time, depending on the time needed. When it comes to contractors, if there's a certain project that you need that needs some type of creativity on their end with control on their behalf, that gives you an opportunity to choose a contractor. And if there are specific tasks that you need from a virtual assistant, such as marketing emails that are specific and defined, you need for a very specific amount of time. That's where virtual assistants can come into play.
And a virtual assistant, in case you don't know, I think everyone knows what a VA is, a virtual assistant. It's someone that doesn't necessarily come into your office. They're not physically with you in your business. However, they will take care of tasks. Generally, they have to do with administration or marketing and those kinds of things. And so you create a relationship with someone who's not physically where you are, thus virtual, and they work as your assistant for whatever purposes you need them to do. And as Jesper said, it's really important to know exactly what you want them to do and give them a step-by-step guide of how you want it done. Because if you can say, I want you to send out emails, they might send them out on Wednesday at midnight when you wanted them to go out on Monday at 8 a.m. So you got to be really clear with anybody that you have doing work for you, whether they're employees or virtual, You need to have real clear communications with them. Can you talk about the difference between a W-2 employee and a contractor? Where they're different and how you would choose either one and what's the right way to do it?
Absolutely. So when it comes to an employee and contractor, it's really the control of the task. And what I mean by that is with an employee, you have a specific job description with specific tasks and specific type of responsibilities and a specific way of doing it. And for a contractor on the flip side, that's where they have some of a little bit more of creative control over their work or process. So what I mean by that, this when we apply this into the real world, let's say you have a certain project that you're working on, and you see you understand the ways it can be done and should be done, and you know the process of making that happen. In the case of an employee, that would be showing those specific processes and having them do it. On the flip side, if you're working on a project and you don't have a specific outline, but you're willing to give creative control to someone who does understand the process and have it do them their way, giving them a little bit more freedom and independence and flexibility of how to execute that project, that's where you can get a contractor. Now, I'm saying neither is right or wrong. It's really an understanding of what process or what project or task is involved and how you want to get that completed and how much control you want to either have or give other people that control in really using their experience in making that certain project happen. So it's
Okay.
really a matter of understanding the roles and responsibilities and how much involved in independent work is.
Awesome. So let me ask you a further question on that, because these are the conversations that I hear business owners having. Well, I don't want to pay employment taxes, so I'm going to hire a contractor. I'm going to so that they're looking at it as just whether, who they have and how they're categorized. However, and correct me if I'm wrong, my understanding is that an employee, a W-2 employee, you get to tell them when they come to work, when they leave, what they're doing and how they're doing it. However, a contractor, you can't tell a contractor, hey, I want you to work between 8 and 5, and I want you here Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. When you hire a contractor, the contractor gets to say when they work, how they work, and what they're doing. And that's the differentiating part that I've understood. Is that correct?
That's correct. So it is that control. So with the employer, you get to set their hours. For the contractor, they have more freedom and flexibility to how they can set their work standards.
Yeah, because I just don't want people to, as they're bringing people on, thinking, oh, I'm going to steal from Peter to pay Paul by using a contractor instead of a W-2 employee, when actually they have not structured the role to fit a contractor instead of a W-2 employee.
That's right. And it can lead to a lot of legal troubles if employees or contractors are misclassified.
Can you talk to that for a minute?
Absolutely. I just know that, for example, if you have an employee that you're categorizing as an employee, but they're actual contractors or they're setting their own hours, they're setting their own standards. If that gets audited, employment records, that can lead into trouble because if compliance is not in play, that just adds to the complexity of the troubles that could come in. So compliance is very important when we classify our employees or contractors or any other team members correctly.
Awesome. Thank you for digging into that a little bit. And speaking of employment tax, I know that's probably one of the things when people are looking at, do I hire someone as a W-2 employee? And a W-2 employee means You fill out a W-2 form, not a 1099. So we won't get into all the tax forms today. Also contractors are sometimes called 1099 employees because that's the form you fill out. So when you have an employee, a W-2 employee, then you do have to pay the taxes. And I will tell you that can be very stressful just because for me, it was always very stressful because it's handling people's money and getting the tax numbers right. Can you talk about all of the resources that are available that can help a business owner who wants to hire employees or has employees? Talk about the kinds of resources that are out there so it doesn't feel so overwhelming.
Absolutely. And I just want to say, share that, yes, Sharon, when it comes to employment taxes, that can be stressful. But I would say not complying to tax law is a lot more stressful
This is
than.
way worse. I
Yeah.
literally know businesses that have gone out of business because they didn't follow the rules that way. I mean, you can lose your business.
That's right. I've seen fines as high as six figures for employment infractions, and for a six-figure business owner, that's very drastic. That's destructive.
Yes.
So, as stressful as some HR processes can be, it's much better to be in compliance than not to be.
That is so true. So, what kinds of resources are out there? Because I know that technology has advanced so much. It's probably so much easier than when I was doing it by hand.
Absolutely. There is software out there, Bamboo HR. I'm not sponsored by any of these softwares, just sharing what's out there. Gusto, they provide, when you log in, it'll give you just different forms to fill out, but it'll make the process easier. That way, you're not too stressed out about finding every single detail. It's all centralized in their system. So there is software out there to support you with just different aspects, whether it's benefits, whether it is taxes or anything related to payroll as well, there are resources out there.
Awesome. And then, of course, you can always hire an expert, like a human being who comes in and helps you out with that as well. But as Jesper said, this is really a critical piece. It's really important to do HR the right way. Sometimes there are things that you don't have to follow the rules. It's okay if you fudge it a little bit. This is one of those categories where you really do need to know what you need to know and what you don't know can get you in trouble. So find out whether you educate yourself or bring in a professional or get some help. Make sure you have some help in this area, which is one of the reasons I wanted to have Jesper on today to talk about these kinds of things.
Sharon, you brought up a good point. Ignoring the laws out there and saying you didn't know, that can still get you into trouble. So very important to be aware of what you need to be aware of.
Yeah, absolutely. So, moving away from like the nuts and bolts of hiring, I wanted to dig into this, and I warned him before he came on, we're going to dig into some of these things and get really nuts and bolts on having employees. So, okay, now we've done the steps, we've got the right category of the right person in the right job. We've hired someone, whichever side they are, we're all set up with our compliances. What's the next step? What do we need to think about them?
Now comes the process of training and onboarding. Now that you have your employees with you, there is no magic wand that just says they're magically prepared for every piece of detail. They're still new to your business. So it is very important to train them on what your business stands for, what your business does, what your products and services that you offer, everything related to how you run your business. That's very important so they can see the big picture. Because if you're just bringing someone on board and stepping aside and saying, "Hey, Jesper, good luck. You got this." Again, that magic wand does not exist. If to be an effective business owner, as I said in the beginning, when we operationalize and standardize our processes, we'll have documents in place that'll really help new employees, new contractors, or new assistants to really understand what work they're expected to do once they're with the team.
Yeah, two things that I thought of while you were talking. One is that there's amazing tools out there now, and there's you could even use AI to help you start your, obviously you're going to have to go in and, tweak things and make it specific towards your business and exactly what you want done. However, you could go to ChatGPT or some other AI and say, create an employee handbook for me. And they will, I mean, it will give you whatever. The more specific you can be in instructing the AI, you can create that. And that's a great starting place because there's nothing worse than staring at a blank screen and knowing you have to write all this stuff. That's hard. So it's really, especially if it's, an employee and you have you already know your vision and you've got culture and you've got, processes and stuff in place that you can input, that can really give you a leg up into creating that where so it doesn't feel so heavy and so much work to do. So you're just not going to have an employee because you don't want to create a handbook and we don't want to create standard operating procedures for everyone to follow. There's so many tools and resources out there for you right now that I highly encourage you to do that. And the other thing is what you need to know as a business owner, particularly a small business, when you hire someone, your sales, your productivity, and your overall things will probably go down a little bit because as you bring a new employee on, your resources, meaning whoever's working there now, whether it's you or someone else that's training the new person, is going to have to focus on training that new person. And the new person isn't up to speed yet. So that overall will create a slight decline as you onboard and train new employees. Just know that because if you don't know that, and it happens, you could be freaking out. You'd be, oh my gosh, what happened? Plan for that. Know that when you bring someone on, that it will reduce your productivity and your sales slightly, maybe when depending on how you what position they're in, it might bring everything down just for a little bit as that person is onboarded and trained. And if you do it right and you follow all the things that Jesper is recommending, once they get up to speed, they'll actually take you even further. Just wanted to point out that little dip as you bring people on.
Sure, and those are excellent points. And I wanted to add to that. For the first thing, AI is an excellent resource to start with. I would also recommend when you have any handbooks or legal documents, have those reviewed by an HR professional, legal counsel, or an attorney.
Good
Just
idea.
you just want to make sure they're in compliance with any relevant laws and regulations. And Sharon brought up a good point. There is a slight dip at the beginning, and that's because new employees are acclimating to this new environment. They still need to understand what makes the organization succeed or your business succeed. And once they have a better understanding of what they need to do and how they can help you get there, that's where you'll finally see the connection and getting them on pace to thrive with you.
Awesome. Yeah. So now we have them. We have them. We've hired them. We're onboarding them. Can you talk a little bit about, I know in addition to HR, like the mechanics of HR that we're talking about right now, you actually have a wider vision and a wider mission. So can you talk a little bit about those wider views?
Wider views for the entire organization.
Leadership and like those beyond the mechanics. What kind of a leader do you need to be? How do you need, what do you need to do in those other air aspects of hiring people, having a staff?
Excellent question. So when it comes to human resources, the emphasis is on human. And to have an effective human resource entity, it's important for business owners, entrepreneurs, to have an enhanced sense of leadership. And what I mean by that is, as a leader, you're leading people. Again, being intentional about how your team members, your employees, contractors, virtual assistants, how they relate to the business you're running, and really getting that sense of mission, vision, and values. And as a leader, you have to be intentional about bringing those values and helping other people really learn about what it takes to succeed. And in addition to that, promoting their personal and professional growth, because for them to just do their task, yes, you can have them do that, but you want them to continually be engaged, and to keep them engaged, you want to make sure they're learning and growing throughout the entire process. So having an intentional sense of leadership is very important for a business owner and entrepreneur.
I love that you said that. And it reminded me, I worked in retail one time. I was working at a toy store, and the owner had such a grasp of that concept of continually learning and building the skills of your employees. He had a book report. He would make me go read books, business books, and then write a report and give them back to him. And then he gave me, some kind of a bonus. I think it was stamps in our card or something. It was some kind of a little thing, but his goal wasn't just, I have a good staff. His goal was, how do I take this great staff member and continually improve them? Like, there was all kinds of things that he would challenge me on, like typing on the keyboard with one hand on the numbers, like the for that, as I was typing in prices and stuff. And I was like, I can't do that. He's like, yes, you can learn it. Like, he was always about what is that next level? How can I gently and effectively move somebody beyond when they came in? So when I left that job, not only did I know more about that retail environment, I knew more about being a business owner and a leader, so that when I started my own business, I had that background around me. And what a valuable gift that is to give to your employees, because the more you pour into them, the more they can give back to you.
I wanted to add to that, and that reminds me of a concept, leadership as a revenue strategy. Because when employees or contractors or any team members are not upgrading their skills, in today's fast-paced world, they're going to get left behind. On the other hand, when we are intentional about their personal and professional growth, they'll gain the skills and experience necessary to really adapt to a fast-moving society. And when it comes to leadership as a revenue strategy, their growth really affects the bottom line because they're prepared to take on new challenges that come their way.
I love that. That's really great. I really appreciate this, because this conversation around leadership as part of being the business owner, because sometimes we just think about leadership as, pushing the buttons in the and create and actually these concepts that you're bringing up enrich you, because you're giving enriches your employees, enriches your business, and actually creates an environment where people want to work and people want to stay.
That's correct. And that plays a major role in engagement when they feel that they are continually learning and growing. It just reminds me of the concept between fixed mindset and growth mindset. For those who have a fixed mindset, they're just used to the current progress that they're making, and they'll fall complacent to what's been working for them in the past. That doesn't last very long. On the flip side, when someone, a leader or a team, has a growth mindset, they understand that there's room for improvement. And when they understand that there's room for improvement, they can make those improvements. And when they make those improvements, progress h happens on a regular basis.
That's right. I so appreciate that whole concept, because sometimes I get very narrow into nuts and bolts. So these are just so beautifully overarching principles that enhance your whole business environment. This is just such a great conversation, and I have learned so much today. I hope you listeners are learning as well. Jesper, this is amazing. Are there any other things that we need to think about, or principles, or anything that as business owners we need to be in touch with around this topic?
Yes, absolutely. As we were reflecting on the employment cycle, once we have our team members on board, we have them trained, it's important to manage performance. And when it comes to performance management, we do need a process to really define what success looks like in a specific task or project and measure how well that team member is doing on that specific task or project, and to do that on a regular basis, to make sure progress is being made throughout the year. And when it comes to managing performance. We want to make sure everyone's on the same page in moving forward.
So how often would you recommend you have, like, would you recommend like a review several times a year or check-ins several times a year and a review at the end of the year? And how would that structure look?
Absolutely. There are several ways to do it. At a minimum, it is important to have regular meetings. At least monthly, I would recommend at least every other week. And then having those conversations to see what progress is looking at like on everyone's end. In the big picture, it is important to keep track of KPIs for your business.
What is
So
a
key performance
KPI?
indicators.
Key performance indicators. Can you define that, break that down for us a little bit?
Yes, so depending on what the business is, it's really the inputs on or outputs of what an organization is in defining their goals. So for example, let's say the goal is to have 200 sales calls a day, well, yeah, a week for this example. Keeping track of the number of sales calls every week gives you a better understanding of how well you and your team are doing with those specific KPIs. So really, it's those mile markers that help people understand where they are with the progress they're making with those specific milestones.
So what you're saying is if as an employer, I put in place the parameters of all the goals that we want to have, and we say, like for the example, 200 calls a week, then we are creating structure around the job description and giving something that can be measured. Because if you could, you're an amazing customer service person and everybody comes in, loves you, and wants to hang out with you, and you make everybody feel great. That's amazing. And it's also maybe not as measurable as what you're talking about. So you're going to have some soft skills, which aren't as measurable. However, you do need to have some parameters around it. Number of complaints that were received about your customer service, or if you wanted to go the more positive way, number of, people who came in and said good things about you. Some businesses will, everywhere you go now, they'll say, here, fill out this survey. And the survey is, how was your customer service? How did that person standing in front of you do while you were standing in front of? That could be a measurable way that you could put in a KPI around customer service. So you can create situations where you have measurement in even soft skills.
That's right. And it is on that note, with the measurements we have in place, important to share that progress with our
Yes.
team members so
Yeah.
they have a better understanding of the direction we're going.
And when you do it consistently, like maybe every other week is not realistic. However, once a quarter might be realistic if you have a lot of employees.
Oh, yeah.
When you are giving that feedback to them, letting them know what our customer what is actually happening and what are you seeing. And so, because sometimes, especially in small businesses, we don't think about, putting all those systems in place. And we just, well, you're doing a good job. Well, you're not doing a good job. And being able to have ways of talking about what your expectations are and whether or not they are meeting, not meeting, or exceeding those expectations can make your job easier. Sometimes it feels like more work at the beginning, like I said before. However, in the long run, it actually makes your job a lot easier because they know what the expectations are. They can be like, well, I came to work on time every single day. I came back from lunch 5 minutes early and whatever. And you're giving me a bad review. Well, yeah, you didn't meet the sales numbers. Well, you don't have sales numbers to say this is what the challenge is, then you don't really have a way to communicate that. And then they know what the expectations are and they can say, yes, I'll meet those expectations, or no, this is not the job for me. So that's even, that even can get people to, if they're on the wrong seat in the bu on the bus, they can either move to another seat or get off the bus.
Sharon, you brought up an excellent point. It's easier to make our case when we have information readily available. So, like you said with your example, when we have a specific number in mind and employees not reaching that specific number, we can show that person that specific number and providing recommendations on improvement in really trying to find ways to upgrade what they're working on and how to get there.
Yeah, that's awesome. And these are really, these are advanced techniques. Because so often we just go in and we do it just whatever we think needs to be done. So I really hope that the ideas and the principles and the SOPs and all of these things that we brought up today make you feel empowered and not overwhelmed. Because and it's a process, and you don't have to do everything all at once. I do recommend always having a system, and my recommendation is as you're creating it for yourself, if you will write down what you do and what works for you, like when you're making handbooks or anything like that, or sales calls, if you will document what you do as you do it, then when you're ready to hire employees, then you have a framework because you know what's been working and it's already written down. And you don't have to type it. There are softwares available where you can just speak into the computer and it will type it for you. There's ways to make it easier on yourself, but I will tell you that this is a I'll tell you a really short, funny story. My husband is a genius. You will hear me say this if you listen to the podcast, the story will come up often. For the first, I would say, 5 years of our business, he remembered every single customer and what job they had in his head without looking at anything. I could say a name and he could tell me everything. And that's an amazing skill to have. And he's brilliant. However, I used to say to him, that's great. However, I can't walk around inside your mind and know what you know. So I need you to write it down. So it's a way of communicating between us. So what finally got him to start telling me things was I said, when we have employees, we need to set up and work our business now as if we have employees. So when we have employees, then we're already ready. So that's a way if you're not ready for employees yet, start thinking about when I have employees, this is how I want things to do. This is the to go. This is what I want to write down because this works and this is the most efficient way to do it.
That's right. That's right. And I wanted to share with everyone out there, I wanted to show everyone that leading a team is fulfilling. Yes, there will be bumps along the way, obstacles. Some days there might be a team member that'll lead you to scratching your head and probably screaming out the window. Yes, that'll happen. However, once you get the right pieces in the right place and you have the right structures and processes flowing together and everyone knows what direction they're heading toward. That's where you'll see real magic.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Thank you so much. This has been an amazing conversation. I've learned so much. I hope my listeners have learned. We'll take this and run with it. Jesper, can you? I know that you have a gift for our listeners. Can you talk about that?
Actually, absolutely. So I am providing the behavioral elements assessment. And what it does, it gives you a better understanding of what drives other people's behavior. And that's important because if you are leading a team or if you're leading yourself, you'll understand how to delegate tasks better or relate to a certain task. So the behavioral elements is based on the natural elements of the world, and I'll explain what that means. So there's air, fire, earth, and water, and these are applied to human behavior. So for a very specific example, fires, these are the people who are really passionate about competition. They feel this need to win. You give them 200, you give them a goal of 200 sales calls. They'll tell you, Jasper, only 200? I can do 300. They're just motivated by that level of competition and contest. The waters, these are the people who are driven to bond. They value the relationships. They value the people. If you want someone to be on the phone with a client or customer, you call up on a water who wants to build that relationship. Or if you're a water yourself as a business owner, you'll see that you really enjoy the people that you're interacting with. Next up, we have the airs. And these are the people who are really passionate about ideas and innovation. As the metaphor goes, these are the people who like to throw spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks. They're really creative and they want to see what works and they will continually experiment. And lastly is Earth. And these are the people who are motivated by structure and organization, because when they realize everything is flowing in a very perfect order, that brings a sense of relief because everything's working out in a certain, in a, everything's working out well in a certain way, and that just relieves stress. So these are the four elements, and the behavioral elements assessment will give you a better idea of how, what drives your behavior based on what those elements are.
That's excellent. What a great tool. And this just all like that like puts a little bow on what we've been saying this whole conversation about having the right people. Once you know what their element is, it's easier to put them into the right place and to know, especially if you're communicating with them, how best to communicate with them, because like if somebody is all about winning challenges, well, you know how you can motivate them and talk to them. And if someone is about connection, now you know how to motivate and talk to that person as well. What a powerful, powerful tool. Thank you, Jesper. I'm really happy to give this to our audience. So if you would like to get Jesper's free gift, it's really easy. All you need to do is go to our community, ProfitConnectors.club. That's Profit Connectors, because you are the connectors in your business. ProfitConnectors.club. And go to that website and you can log in for free. And inside the community, you will find Jesper's free gift. You'll find his contact information, his bio, photograph, along with all of the other guests that we've had on the podcast, their information and their gifts as well. It's easy to go in there. You can re-listen to the podcast if you want, and all that information will be in there, and you will be able to get this elements assessment. I think that's amazing. It's a beautiful, powerful tool. It sounds really easy and it's really, really powerful. I love that. Jesper, do you have any final words that you would like to say?
Yes, so there's something I like to share. It is a math formula. I know people are probably scratching their head. Jesper, you're making us do math. I assure you, it's not going to get complicated. But what I like to share with people is a formula: dreaming plus doing equals innovating. When it comes to dreaming, it's important to come up with new ideas, innovate, experiment, and doing. It's not enough to just have those ideas. It's important to take action on the ideas that you have. And when you have that together, the dreaming and the doing, that leads to innovating, where you have new ideas for your business. So dreaming plus doing equals innovating.
Oh, I love that. That was so beautiful. Thank you so much, Jesper. I encourage you, my audience, to keep showing up. Your future self will thank you. And remember, it's your business and your impact. Go make it matter. Thank you for joining us. Hey, Profit Connectors, that's it for another Profit Connections podcast. Thank you for joining us. If you're ready to make moves and connections that take your business to the next level, want to get to know us and our speakers better, and get your gifts and resources, head over to the website profitconnectors.club. That's profitconnectors.club, and get your goodies right now.